Oh, come on, you act like it's not homecoming week. How are you doing? Good, there you go. Awesome, exciting. That's what I'm talking about. Well, hey, if we haven't met before, again, my name's Van, and I'm one of the pastors here at Relevant. And tonight, you have picked a great night to be here because we are beginning our new series called Own It. And in this series, we're going to be answering several questions, questions that no matter who you are and no matter what walk of life you've probably asked before, and maybe some of you in this room are asking these questions right now. And some of those questions are, what is it that Christians, what is it that I'm actually supposed to believe? Some of you may be thinking like, well, where do I find the truth? Where do I find the answers to this thing? And some of you actually may be wondering like, how do I deal with times where I doubt what I'm told to believe in? And so these are things that we're actually going to be talking about during the Own It series and talking about how you can find and actually keep your faith. And just a disclaimer for tonight's message, it is vital that you have this thing that we give out every week, these things called graffiti cards. So if you did not have a graffiti card in your seat, worry not. We've got like a whole row right here of graffiti cards. Those are just the white cards. And if you could find a pen, if there's not one available, again, there's a whole row of pens. Don't feel awkward about standing up and going and grabbing one. But it is very important that you have a graffiti card tonight because there is a lot of information that we're going to be covering with tonight's message. And one of the things that we want to do, actually, to change things up a little bit, because it is homecoming week, because things are different. I mean, I went to CHS Tuesday to speak at FCA, and they have like this Disney theme going on. And so that was kind of cool, like different Disney characters dressed up on one day, and tomorrow they're actually dressing up again as Disney characters. And with Rossview, I've seen tons of photos from like old teachers and from like other students who have posted really funny pictures. Like y'all had a hippie day the other day, and that was really cool, really funny. And so y'all are used to this week being a little different. And even if you're from like a different school, and if you're Clarksville Academy, you've had homecoming, and probably you're still very excited about that. And so we want to change the way we're going to start this message tonight by actually starting with a game, okay? And it involves your graffiti card. So do me a favor. Look at your graffiti card. The front page has a bunch of like fill in the blank stuff. I want you to turn it over, and there's a completely blank side to your graffiti card. Now, usually we have this section left blank on purpose. We want you to be able to take notes during the message. Well, we don't want you to do that tonight. Instead, we want to cover up all of that blank space. So that you get what I'm saying. All right, so the way we're gonna do that is I need you to draw a line directly in the middle of your card so that you separate from a left and a right. Hold it long ways so that when you flip it the other way, you can read it correctly, or so wide. Hot dog or hamburger? You need to draw the line like a hamburger, I guess. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. Just draw a line in the middle. We're making this complicated. You just need two halves. I'm sorry, I'm not good at explaining. If I held a card, you would have a left and a right, not a top and a bottom, if that makes sense. So, draw a line right down the middle. That's all you gotta do. All right, and then on the left side, do me a favor and write down one name. Don't write it big. Write down what, because you're gonna write a lot more. Write one name of someone that you're close with. Let me give you a disclaimer, and this could be your mom, your brother, your sister, your dad, that's part of your family. You could write some of your friends, but let me give you a disclaimer. If you're writing your boyfriend or your girlfriend and they're sitting next to you, this game could get awkward. So your discretion, okay? You can do it if you want. If you're like, I love my girlfriend, she bae. Whatever. Write it if that's what has to happen, okay? So just write down a name. And you are about to have, don't do it yet. Don't cheat. You're about to have 30 seconds. You can write the name, but don't write anything else. You're going to have 30 seconds to write one word characteristics of this person. And you can write as many one-word descriptions of this person as you can, but not a sentence. So you can't write, like, he is awesome. There's three. You can't do that. Like, it has to be one-word description. So if I were doing it, I'm going to try and get brownie points here, I'd write Naomi's name on the left side. And I know, right? I act like I'm married, which I'm not. All right, so I would write, like, honest. I'd write, like, funny, things like that, okay? And now she likes me a lot more. So you have the same option, okay? So you're going to have 30 seconds to write as many of those words as you possibly can, okay? 30 seconds. Get ready. Don't start yet. If you've already started, it doesn't count. Ready? And 3, 2, 1, go. Ooh, so quiet. All right, you officially have half the time to finish. Half of the time. Make sure you're writing only on the left side. And you have 10 seconds to wrap it up. 10 seconds. And 5 seconds, 4, 3, 2, 1. Stop. Even if you're in the middle of a word, stop. And that word doesn't count if you didn't finish it. Okay? So do me a favor, count all of those words, and on the left side that you wrote it, write down the number of how many words you got down, okay? So count up how many words, and then just write it on the left side where you wrote all those other words. And just circle it or something so you'll be able, so it can stand out, okay? If you wrote on the right side, it's not the end of the world. The side really doesn't matter as long as one side is still blank. If not, this game might be a little more difficult for you. There's always one who messes up. Okay, so now, on the right side of your graffiti card, I want you to write down God, okay? Now you can see where we're going with this. I want you to write down God. And you're going to have 30 seconds to write as many one words to describe God as you possibly can, okay? You have 30 seconds starting in 3, 2, 1, go. All right, you have half that amount of time now. 10 seconds. And 5 seconds, 4, 3, 2, 1, stop. Even if you're in the middle of a word, stop. All right, now count how many words you were able to get down, and then write the number on the right side, or whichever side you wrote that one right there, and then circle it. Now, the purpose of this game was not to make you feel like crap, okay? So if you're like, well, thanks a lot, now I'm going to go home and cry. That's not the point. The point is for us to be able to understand the tension of what we're going to be talking about tonight. For some of us, the left side was way easier to be able to fill out than the right side. For a lot of us, it was way easier, and we actually wrote many more things about someone that we're close with than who God is, because God is a mystery to a lot of us. And we have no idea how to gauge and how to process who God is. And we actually, in that moment where we were struggling to write those words, you may have felt some like tension, some anxiety. You kind of might have felt like you were taking a test. Some of you actually have felt this experience today, that you walked in and you were like, crap, I don't own this. I don't know this material. I can't own it. And so you walked in and you did horrible on a test. I'm sorry if you're that guy. I did that too earlier this week. And so for some of you, maybe you've had this happen to you in sports. Maybe the coach gave you the play. You went out on the field and immediately you were like, crap, dude, I have no idea what he just said to me. And so now you've got the tension of like, what are you supposed to do? Because you need to act now like you own it when you don't. The truth is, we do this all the time in our faith. We do this all the time in our faith, where we try to act like we own it, but we really are not very confident at all. This happened to me when I was in middle school. I was a part of I was in student ministry, and I was in a student ministry, and it was nothing like Relevant. I mean, it was weird, and it was definitely a lot smaller. Like, there were 30 kids tops that went, and of those 30, 24 of them were high schoolers, and 6 of us were middle schoolers. And like the biggest thing, we didn't split middle school and high school. So I'm with a bunch of high schoolers, and most of those 6 middle schoolers rarely, if ever, showed up. And so I would have to like go to these things all by myself. All the older kids are there, and I'm trying so hard to fit in and for them to like me. And so I remember one time in particular. Our youth pastor was having like a big Super Bowl party at his house. And so he invited me along with all the other people. And so I wanted to make sure I was like on my A game so I could meet and make new friends. Here's the problem though, and it's still true. I really don't care about sports. I just don't care. I don't like them. It's not that I don't like them. I don't, though. I just don't like sports, okay? There it is. I'm being honest with you. But, I mean, it's not like I can't get into sports, but in middle school, I really wasn't into sports, okay? I mean, to the point where I didn't even know anything that was going on. And I actually surprised Naomi this weekend because when we were at the Warfield game, she was shocked that I knew how the game works. She was like, wait, you know what a touchdown means? I was like, I'm not an idiot. I just don't like sports. But at middle school, I was an idiot, and I knew nothing about sports, okay? So, like, I was completely lost on how the game of football worked. But I was ready to go in and act like I knew it all. I was ready to own it. And so that morning, I still remember, it was the Rams versus the Patriots. And for those of you that are crazy sports fans, you probably remember which Super Bowl that was. So it was the Rams versus the Patriots, and I went to Walmart that morning, and I saw a Rams jersey. And I didn't know it was a Rams jersey. My dad had to be like, that's a Rams jersey. And so I was like, this is it. This is how I'm going to start to fit in. So I bought this Rams jersey, and that night, I show up to the party. I walk in. Literally everybody is wearing Patriots jerseys. And so I'm like, well, strike one. And I didn't know what that meant because I don't like sports. And so I was like, okay, here we go. And so I walk in, I was like, this is the worst. And so immediately I'm an outsider. And then though, I was like, okay, I've got to own it now. I've got to own knowing football because that's the only way I'm going to be accepted. And so the game's going on, and I'm like the dad that's like yelling at the screen, like expecting the player to turn around and be like, thanks, coach. Like, I am like yelling at the screen, like getting into it like with everybody else, but the problem is I don't really know what I'm saying. And so at one point I'm like, oh man, he almost got the sixth down. He was so close. And like this guy next to me was like, what? And then later on I was like, oh, he can get that slam dunk, no joke. Like, and I'm really saying things like this because I'm like, sports words, pitch that ball. And so like I'm just so lost in it. More and more I'm talking, I notice the more and more people are starting to look at me like, what is this guy talking about? And finally, the epitome of like just the most embarrassing thing happens. The Patriots lose the ball, it's an interception, the Rams take it, get a touchdown. And of course, everyone there is a Patriots fan, and I don't really know what just happened. And so all the Patriots fans are like, oh, dang it, shoots. They're saying like the negative, not curse words. And they're like, oh, poopy. And like just saying things like that. And so I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to fit in. And so I was like, oh, darn it. This is the worst. And immediately the guy next to me who's been like suspicious of me all night goes, bro, your team just scored. Shut up. And I was like, oh, no. Like I am now completely exposed. Everyone knows that I know nothing about this thing that I'm claiming to have such confidence in. And for a lot of us in this room, we have felt the exact same tension in our faith. We have felt the exact same tension in the fact that we were not owning it. Maybe someone's asked you a question before, like, who is God? Or what do you believe about this? And you would be like, oh, well, basically, and you would like tell this long answer when in your head you're like, please make this, let's make sense. Like, I don't even know what I'm saying. And like, you've been caught in awkward moments like that. And here's the truth. If you do not have confidence in something, then you can't own it. You can't own something that you're not confident in. And so tonight we want to be able to unpack this question. What do I believe? What do I believe? But the first thing you have to understand, when it comes to understanding our faith, we have to look at the who instead of the what. So to understand the what, we must first understand the who. And this is one of the things on your graffiti card that we're just going to go ahead and start diving in. So before you can understand the what that we believe, you have to understand the who. So for all of you smart people in the room, who is it that we believe in? God. You can say it if you think you know. So we believe in God, and that's it. And so we're going to pray, and y'all are going to go to small group, and y'all are going to talk about God. No, it's not enough just to say, well, we believe in God, because how many times have you been in a conversation, or have you felt the tension from someone asking, well, who do you believe in? Well, God. Well, who's God? Just God. There he is. Like, you have no idea how to explain that to somebody. Because what they're actually saying is, well, what do you believe about God? And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So there are five very specific things we want to unpack about God. But these are not the only things, because there is so much more to God than these five things. But these five character traits about God will better help us to unpack what it is that we believe by first understanding who it is we believe in. So the first thing that I want you to be able to write down in your graffiti card, God is eternal / unchanging. Or I think it may be, yeah, eternal. I don't know who God is. God is eternal unchanging. And we learn that through God's word. And that's something, first of all, we need to talk about too, because why do we constantly talk about the Bible? Why are we constantly reading the Bible when it comes to talking about God? Well, simply because we refer to this as God's word because this is God's inspired message to you and to me. If you've ever had questions about who God is, that is what this Bible is here for. If you've ever had questions about what God expects from us, that is what this book is here for. We believe in this book, and we believe that is 100% true and 100% worthy of showing us how we should live our lives. And so if we understand that, then we understand that we can begin to discover who God is through this book. And so in Revelations chapter 1, and this is a part of your graffiti card you definitely want to fill out because we will reference all of this stuff later on. So the first thing we learn in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, is about how God is eternal and unchanging. It says, God says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, the one who is, who was, and who is coming, the Almighty. So what's the very first thing? Let's kind of unpack this. Immediately you're like, this is why the Bible's hard, because it uses words I don't know. So what's the first thing it says? I am the what? Alpha and the Omega. Well, what does this mean? You have to understand the New Testament was written in a language called Greek. This Greek language is different than ours, and they actually have a different alphabet. And here's the cool thing. I studied Greek this summer, so I actually, when I read this today, I was like, oh, cool. And so some of you actually probably know this too, because this Greek is a very basic understanding. The first letter of the Greek alphabet is Alpha, and the very last letter of the Greek alphabet is Omega. So what it says here, what God is trying to say is he is the what? The first, and he is the last. He is the beginning, he is the end. What he is very clearly saying is he is eternal. He's saying, I have been here before anything. I will be here after everything. He is eternal. The next thing that he spells out for us by saying that he is the one who what? What's it say? He is the one who is. Is is a present tense. Is telling us who God is right now is important because who God is the same, it goes on to say, is who he was in the past. And lastly, who is coming? God is the same now as he was in the beginning and as he will be when everything in this world ends. God is eternal and God is constant. God is unchanging. The next thing that God is for us to know, God is truth. God is truth. And we learn this in John chapter 14, verse 6. God is truth. We learn this from actually God's Son, God in human form, Jesus. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We talk a lot at Relevant about this idea called real life. And where do we get this? We get a lot of this from this very passage. Jesus says that he is the way. What the world wants to tell you is there are many different ways to ultimate happiness. It could be sports, it could be your grades, it could be your career, it could be hanging out with friends. But what Jesus is saying is all of these things at some point are going to fail you. Think about it. How many times has a friend betrayed you? How many times have your mom and your dad let you down? They weren't there when they said they were going to be. They fought when you thought that they were going to stay together. How many of you, for the thing that you're passionate about, at some point did it betray you? At some point, it didn't make you happy. There was a practice that you walked away and said, I just didn't have fun today. There's a day of rehearsal that you're like, I just don't feel like I'm having a good time anymore. At some point, all these other ways will fail you. But what Jesus says is he is the ultimate way to satisfaction. And if that's the truth, then he also is pointing out to the fact that everything else that claims to be that is false. Everything else that claims to be that is a lie. But the only thing that is ultimately true, ultimately trustworthy, is God. He has never done or said anything that is untrustworthy. So God is eternal and unchanging. Say that with me. God is perfect, and God is truth. The third thing God is personal. God is personal. And we learn this in one of the most famous passages of the Bible, the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16. We learn how God is personal. Again, we learn this through God's Son, Jesus. And even if you're not a biblical scholar, you probably know this passage, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God gave us a Savior named Jesus because God is a personal God. How often have we viewed God, and I'm being 100% honest, I've heard someone say this before, that they viewed God as being up above us, looking at us like through a crystal ball. And how many of us have viewed God as like kind of this grandpa who parts the clouds and he can kind of just see us and he's just like, "Hey there." And like he's just really far away. How many times have we viewed God as being so very distant, so very above us? When in actuality, God has a personal touch for us. God wants a personal relationship with us. God is very present within our lives. And here comes one of the most intricate and most difficult things to understand about God, and we're not diving in theologically to this. If you have more questions about this next week, we will be more than happy to answer. But to understand who God is, you have to understand a very complex thing about God. God is one. We believe in one God, so we believe in one, not many gods. But there are three parts or three persons to this God. Not three separate gods, but one God with three very specific parts. There's God the Father, and you've also heard this called the Trinity, the Holy Trinity. And so we have God the Father. God the Father, who was around since the beginning, who's creator of everything, who has the role that is above the other two, but not in the sense of he is greater because he is equal with the other parts of the Trinity. So you have God the Father, but then you also have his personification. You have God who is a human incarnate, which is Jesus. And Jesus is not just God, he's 100% God and he's also 100% human. If you know that alone, you understand immediately how personal God is. Because God cared enough about us that he didn't say, "I want to be separated from them." He didn't say, "I just want them to pray to me and I'm still here if they need me." No, he said, "I'm going to send one like them. I'm going to send someone that looks like them, talks like them, goes through the same struggles that they are tempted with." But he sent someone that was perfect. He sent someone that was him. He sent Jesus. And immediately we see how personal God is because he wanted to be among us. And Jesus died and rose again. And because of the fact that he rose again and because of the fact that he is God, if we put our faith in him, everything is different. But then also, the most deep part of this personal part of God is the third part of the Trinity, a thing called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the part of God that dwells within us. The Holy Spirit is God that is living within us. You cannot get more personal, more relational than that. And the Holy Spirit directs us in the way that we should live. It gives us guidance. It gives us wisdom. It shows us the right way. It shows us the wrong way. The Holy Spirit is very powerful, and all of this builds into an incredibly personal and relational God. Have you ever wondered why we so desperately want relationships? Why we want to be able to talk to our moms and our dads? Why we want to be with someone? Because God first had a relationship with us. So we crave relationship. So God is what? What's the first one? Eternal and unchanging. He is, and he is love. God is love. We learn that God is love in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. In this passage, it tells us very specifically, I want you to look at one very specific word on the screen. It says, God is what? Love. God is love. And the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. There's no one else in this world that you can describe as being love. It actually sounds weird to describe anything as being love. As much as you like your boyfriend or girlfriend, you can never be like, bae is love, dude. Bae is love. You can't say it. It doesn't make sense. You can say so that your boyfriend or girlfriend is lovely. You can describe people as being lovely or loving. But no one is love except for God, because we have all fallen short of loving other people. I mean, think about it for you today. How many times have you fallen short of loving people? Well, the truth is God doesn't fall short in loving us. There's nothing in this world that we can do to gain his love even more. Helping out with For the City is not our attempt to gain God's love, because God already loves us. For the City is actually an opportunity for us to show love and show God's love to other people. Because since God is love, we are the product of God's love. We live because God is love. And we are able to love because God is love. So God is what? He is, and he is. And lastly, God is grace. This is one of the most important characteristics of who God is. It is vital for us to understand this. God is grace. And we learn this in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, which says, "For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift." Here's the harsh truth that we need to understand tonight. We are deserving of nothing. We are entitled to nothing. We're not entitled to a home, to a car, to friends, to a mom, to a dad. We are entitled to nothing. We are deserving of actually one thing, and that's punishment. We are deserving of punishment because of who we are, because we don't love people, because we have done things that we know we shouldn't do. We have hurt people. We have been aggressive toward people. We have lied. We have cheated. We have stolen. We are not worthy of anything but punishment. But because of who God is, because he is eternal and unchanging, because he is truth, because he is personal, he is love, and because of his grace, we actually are able to receive something, a gift that we don't deserve, which is eternal life with him, which is a deep relationship with the Creator. It is vital for us to understand this, that all we have to do is accept Jesus, to acknowledge and proclaim that Jesus is the Savior, that he has done everything that we couldn't do to be saved. That is grace. That is God. God is eternal and unchanging. He is truth. He is personal. He is love, and he is grace. And when we begin to understand just this beginning part of who God is, we have a better understanding of what it is we believe. We have more confidence, and we begin to own it. The bottom line tonight is simply this. Owning who God is makes us more confident in what we believe. Owning who God is makes us more confident in what we believe. The thing to understand tonight, I heard it said best this way this week. What matters right now and 100 years from now is only one thing. It's not if the football team wins the game Friday. It's not if you have a good time at homecoming and you make memories. It's not if she texts you back before you leave Relevant. The only thing that matters now and 100 years from now is your relationship with God, because that is the only thing that will last when you're gone. So the question to ask yourself is, now that I have a little bit more confidence, now that I can own a little bit more of who God is, for some of us, am I willing to accept him? And for the rest of us, am I willing to keep learning more? I want to challenge you this week. You have five characteristics. You have five passages. This week, read through these things every single day until we meet again on Wednesday. to better understand who God is. But for right now, I want to ask for some of you in this room, if you are ready to make a next step, I want to give you the opportunity to make that next step. I want everyone in the room to have an opportunity to talk to God before we dismiss the group. So if you would, where you are, just close your eyes and bow your head. Don't worry about the people sitting next to you. Don't worry about anything else. Just close your eyes and bow your heads. And do me a big favor. There are times where some of us kind of want to look around, but just do me a favor, and in this moment, just close your eyes and bow your head. We have a God who wants a relationship with you. And if for tonight you feel like God is calling you to take your next step, to actually come into a relationship with Jesus, if you're ready to accept him for the first time tonight, then I want you to pray this silently where you're sitting. Lord, I am sorry for all of the things I've done wrong. Father, I apologize for my mistakes. I apologize for the times that I have fallen short. Lord, I deserve your punishment. But Father, I ask that you would give me your grace. Father, I accept you as my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and for dying for me. If this is something that you've prayed, with your eyes closed, with your head bowed where you're sitting, I want to ask you to do something a little bold. Where you're sitting, would you lift your hand up if this was something that you prayed tonight? Would you lift your hand up to accept Jesus tonight? Don't worry about anyone else around you. Yeah. Lift your hand if tonight was the night that you accepted Jesus. Awesome. And for the rest of us in this room, if you would, let's pray for everyone here that has accepted you, and let us pray that we continue to keep this faith. Lord, I ask that for everyone that made a decision tonight, that you would continue to be with them, that you would continue to bless them, and that you would continue to show them the way. For us in this room, Father, I ask that you would help us to be able to leave here tonight owning who you are and confident in who you are. Father, thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for your love and for showing us who you are. We love you so much, Father. It's in your name that we pray all these things. Amen.